I don't think you can force someone else to planeswalk. It's just like an individual thing.
Well, then how do they not show up naked everywhere they go?
Because their clothes aren't another planeswalker.
They're like a material thing.
No, you missed, dude. You didn't read this article?
Which article?
The one about how they get their clothes from place to place.
No.
Dude, they all have special planeswalker packs.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and they roll it all up and shove it up their assholes, and then they planeswalk, and it's already inside them.
Get the fuck out of here. What the fuck are you talking about? What article?
Dude, you bought that. Hook line, you're like, there's an article?
Like, oh my God. I was like, it's like, what the fuck? There's no article.
Yeah. Welcome to the podcast from the state you love to hate. We are Will of the Council. I am Brian the Inky Scholar, and with me, as always, are Zeki.
Hey guys, it's Zek Town.
And Junaid.
What's up, guys?
Zeki, you have someone with you tonight, is that right?
I do. I do have a special guest for the evening. He approached me and asked me very urgently to talk about standards, so I figured I should try to get him on here tonight, and it's my friend Morgan.
Hello.
He does that from time to time. Morgan, tell us a little about yourself. What's your favorite format right now?
I don't know. Legacy is not always my favorite format, but Modern is what I jam a lot.
Okay, cool. Very nice. So, I guess we can start off with you, because you're our guest. Did you play any Magic this past weekend?
I
think you did.
Was it the pre-release this weekend?
No, it was last week. We did a little seal event at my house.
Oh, that's right, we did. Yeah, that was that past weekend. Okay, yeah, we did play some seal. Like, that was pretty sweet, actually. I got my ass kicked, though.
What'd you build?
I always force, like, aggro. Like, but then I realized, and especially in, like, the sealed format, like, you can't just go wide and expect to win, especially because there's, like, all these Eldrazi and, like, big Eldrazi spawn or whatever the hell they're called, with Scion.
Yeah.
But you can't really go wide like that. So I found that, like, generally, like, a powerful mid-game and, like, a really powerful end-game is, like, way better than just trying to go wide and keep it, like, in the mid-game.
Makes sense. How about, we got to play some seal at my place, but where do we get the packs from, Junaid?
Oh, I don't know. I might have bought a whole case of Battle for Zendikar. I bought a whole case of Battle for Zendikar. I got really hyped for the set and went ahead and pulled the trigger on the case. And we cranked that on Friday? Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, so 6 times 36 packs.
That was moderately exhausting, opening that many magic.
Yeah, it was like it got to be like a chore at one point, you know, sorting them and stuff. Yep. So we had some pretty sick opens.
Yeah, you, Zeki and Junaid, you guys have been opening incredibly well.
Oh no, it's not me. It's not me. It's Zeki, for sure. I think in total he's cracked open about, what was that, four expeditions?
It is. Definitely been 4 expeditions.
And I had 2 of them in my case.
Yep. What were they again?
I got the Watery Grave and the Hallowed Fountain.
That's right. My expeditions. The blue ones for you.
Yep.
That was fun. And then I actually opened up a couple expeditions. Very, very low. I think, like, I'm cursed now. I don't think I'm going to open anything else from any other set ever. So I'm just going to open a lot of this set. But in a fat pack on Friday morning, I opened a Misty Rainforest, which was insane. Like, I was freaking out when I opened it. And it was, like, super crazy because we had just been talking about that. Like, literally the other night, and we talked about it again with Mike Linneman, Rhymes with Cinnamon, so that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, have you guys listened to the new Snack Time with Mike and Ant?
I've not gotten a chance to with any podcast, unfortunately.
I think they indirectly reference us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but we should tell them they can just say our name. Like, it's cool. We're not like the boogeyman. If you say our name, we don't appear.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah, so Mike's like, so some podcasts have learned that Rhymes with Cinnamon. I was like, that's us. I was like, say our name. But no, that didn't happen.
So anyways, then on Saturday I was going out doing a little shopping, and I was stopping at a Walmart, and you know, I was like, okay, whatever, I'll buy like a couple packs, see what I get. But I was really, I'm hoping for the new Duel Land. That's what I really want to open, like, actually, and I haven't opened like any almost. But I ended up opening a Bloodstainmire out of a random pack from Walmart.
Yeah, the Walmart in Edison still does not. Edison is one of the local towns, listeners. They still don't have any Battle for Zendikar at all. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
It's like no product at all. And it's not like there's like a
hole. That's like a little questionable.
Yeah, but it's not like there's a gap where like there used to be product. Like, you know, if you go to like a Target and they're all sold out, there's like a gap. There's not even boosters of Battle at the Edison Walmart. Of course it is.
I think someone probably just like bought it up and were like, you know, you don't need that box there. I'll just buy all of it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Sweet.
Oh, yeah. And so the case was a super cool, super, I think we did pretty well in value. I think it opened a little bit over the average value for a case. Got almost a place out of all the new dual lands. I think the only ones I need are one more black-red one and one more green-red one.
I have those, actually.
Yeah, and yeah, just playsets of a lot of rares. Like, I got a playset of Ruinous Path and a new Counterspell. Let's see, Planeswalker. Got two of each of the Planeswalkers, two Gideons, two Old Nyxilis, two Kioras, two Ulamogs. Overall, pretty neat. And yeah, like the two expeditions, and it was super fun. We with the last box, we did a little sealed event. So we have to play some more Battle for Zendikar Sealed.
Nice.
How did you do in that sealed event?
I believe I lost in the finals to someone. How do you pronounce this name? Is Zeki? Zeki?
Alikya?
Yeah, that guy. So I guess I'm handing off cast champion belt over to Zeki, right?
You've yet to defeat me, sir. In any match.
Yeah, but we've never.
Junaid and I have never played Magic against each other.
Yeah.
You and I have, Zeki, but Junaid and I have never played Magic against one another.
How are we just finding this out now? This is episode 8.
Make this happen, like, soon. I'm getting tables and chairs. Let's do this.
Well, it's not happening until, like, November, dude.
That's got a house now.
You're
not going to be free this weekend?
No, like, I'll be free in November. It's pretty much the deal.
Well, then, Brian, where did you end up playing this past weekend?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't play. I painted. Well, I didn't paint. My wife painted while I wrote a paper, and then I moved, like, I don't know, an entire basement full of boxes into the basement. And now I'm moving a house full of boxes into the house, so... That is my story, but...
He played the Game of Life.
I did play the Game of Life, and Junaid and I actually talked about this earlier on Facebook, but you will not believe who I saw, Zeki.
Who did you see?
Mark Rosewater, lead designer of Magic the Gathering.
No, you did not.
No, but this is our new game.
What?
The new game.
Do you want me to explain it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So the game is you get one of your cast members to say who, and then you follow up with Mark Rosewater, lead designer of Magic the Gathering.
And you play across an entire calendar year. So right now, Zeki, I'm 1 and you are 0.
I see. This was loaded.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. Who knows?
Who knows?
You still owe me a sandwich, sir.
I do owe you a sandwich, but I'm winning this.
That's fair.
So we've got a lot of competitions going on.
We do, yeah.
All right, good. Good. I like a competitive.
This is going to get really bad when we start talking about people that win events.
What do you mean?
Well, you're going to ask a specific question, and then whoever answers first is obviously going to get the point there.
What specific question? I don't understand.
I'm not gonna set myself up for that one.
All right, fair enough.
I like this new game though. Okay.
Yeah, I I modified it from another podcast that I listen to. It's called What Say You Pod, and it's the two of the guys from the TV show Impractical Jokers, and they do theirs is Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's. But I thought we would modify it. That's to be a magic thing. So
I was wondering, I think you sent me a picture where you were listening to a podcast, and that was like the title, and I was like, what the hell is he listening to? It's talking about Wendy's.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You guys want to jump into a metagame update?
Yeah, let's go for it.
So yeah, as you guys know, a new standard rotation, new everything rotation, technically, but yeah.
Just stay allies!
The most, what do you guys think? What do you guys thinking about these before I jump into, tournament stuff?
Our guest, Morgan, what do you think about the new standard?
I don't even know.
I mean, I know Jace is good. I know Dig Through Time is good. I know Siege Rhino is still good. I think Ruinous Path is going to be really good with Obnixilis at some point. And the Awakened mechanic itself is, I think, a little underappreciated as of, right now. But, I mean, you still have Ogitize Command for a lot of control deck, and, it's lacking a lot of, the direct damage. We were talking about that before. So you've got a lot of, decks playing Tarkus Command, anything that can be playing red, which is most of things, red or green, if it needs a splash, it will play Tarkus Command, because if you're generally playing creatures, you know what I mean?
Nice.
That is what it is. That's my limited.
I think Hater Backwalker is going to stick around for a while longer. That card is
awesome. It's so good. Even casting it to one is good.
Yeah, and even killing it yourself benefits you a lot of times. You can end up chumping stuff and not losing a game.
It's just Hater Backwalker on one, and then you level it up or whatever. You juice it up. And then you juice it up again, and then you kill it if you got to, and you got three chump blockers if you need. Or you can get in the last 2 points of damage if they got, an Ojitai or whatever, and,
Bone Splinters and Reap the Altar are both in the format, right?
Yes, that is true. Bone Splinters could be really good.
Oh, man.
Omnixilis, Bone Splinter, Hanger Backwalker, Jace, Ruinous Path, that counter spell. I'm telling you, it's a thing, man.
So, Janae, what are you thinking about?
Here I'm gonna go ahead and jump into the SCG Open that happened this past weekend in Indianapolis. How Morgan was just saying Jace is good, Dig Through Time is good, Siege Rhino is good. Well, guess what? A lot of people think the same thing, and there are a lot of 4 and 5 color decks that are playing those cards, along with a card called Bring to Light.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got basically, out of the top 8 decks, we've got a 4-color mid-range deck, a 5-color Bring to Light deck, and a Jeskai mid-range deck, but the Jeskai deck is also splashing black, so it's actually a 4-color deck. So I think three out of the 8 decks in the top 8 were at least 4 colors. So, that's saying something right there about the new dual lands and how easily you can fetch them up and get whatever colors you need at whatever point in the game.
So the guy playing the Jeskai deck, he gave us credit, right? Because the deck we developed for him last week on the podcast?
Oh, yeah. Clay Spickelmeyer totally threw us... No, he didn't at all.
No?
He was the best guy in the world, man.
But it was. We didn't say anything about adding black in there, right? He's got black cards like Tassiker and Crackling Doom.
Neither of those is an ally. He didn't use the right deck list.
That's ridiculous. Probably why he didn't give us any credit. He made the top 8 though, so I guess that's good for him. But yeah, other than that. Basically, again, going along with what Morgan's saying, if people are playing with creature decks and not direct damage spells, because there aren't any, you're probably going to be seeing a lot of the Tarkus Command, and that was the winner of that tournament. The deck was actually named a Tarka Deck Wins. It was basically a mono red deck with a splash of green for a Tarkus command.
Is that the landfall deck?
That was not the landfall deck.
Okay.
No, I don't think any of the landfall decks. Yeah, that was very impressive too. It's fast, yeah. And there was in second place we had a green white aggro deck that was playing like Hangar Deck Walkers and a bunch of one drops and, you know, the Den Protectors and stuff like that. So exactly, like, people are just playing, they're looking at the cards and they're like, these are good cards, I'm going to play the best cards. And a lot of people are doing that by playing, by reaching over to 4 and 5 colors and playing all of them, you know? But yeah, that's, yep.
You know, there's not much Eldrazi action yet.
No, there hasn't really been any Eldrazi deck that's been brought to the forefront. I think it's because Abzentron is such a good card still. I know all the 4 or 5 color decks are playing Abzentron.
I agree.
So you exile pretty much any Eldrazi. There's no, I don't think there's any Eldrazi right now in the format that has any sort of protection from that kind of effect.
Nope, and you're not even the Void Winnower or whatever the hell that card's called.
Yeah,
it's, that doesn't even get around, like, you know, like Abzentron still kills it.
Yep, it's an odd numbered spell.
Because you can't even.
Right.
And that's like the Eldrazi if you're going to be casting it in some sort of deck. You know, I would think that would be the one.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think, but
I mean, you can cast Ulamog for value and exile to permanence.
Yeah, I mean,
but I don't think it'll stick around to attack.
Yeah. I don't know.
Brian, what are your thoughts on standard?
Just Sky Allies is the way to go. No one's doing it, so clearly the entire field is wrong.
I'm a big fan.
I mean, I made a Mardu Allies draft deck, or a sealed deck, and man, that thing was really fun. So I imagine if you add blue, it can only get better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually, so I also bought a box of the Battle for Zendikar, and so I got a lot of Allies, so I'm debating building it. I have the one Jace still. I don't know that I will ever get more than one, seeing as the card is worth all the dollars, but...
All of the dollars.
It's worth like $70 now, at least.
When you can pay $800 for a standard deck, why not Legacy?
True. Because Legacy is like $3,200. Right?
But I mean, that
set of Jace is like $240 to $250.
That Jace will be in Legacy. I guarantee it.
It's in Vintage.
It's Vintage, man.
Yeah.
It's already there, man. I'm not looking forward to playing against it in a month.
I'm almost resigning myself to a fate of not playing blue in standard because I can't afford chases.
Or modern.
That is a sad day.
It's a sad, sad day for the blue mage.
From the guy that plays blue almost exclusively.
So, you had 4 chases though, right?
3. 3. Actually, there was a 3.
3.
Perfect. I mean, I thought I got, like a lot of people, I thought I was going to, like, I had maxed out trading them away for almost $40 a piece of value, you know, in cards.
And Saturday morning, I had to text you.
And that thing just went, I mean, after the rotation especially, it's just like, people figured out how good the card was and how absolutely insane it was.
Plus, there's just not as much Origins open now that we have Zendikar.
Although you can
buy exactly. There's a lot of factors that go into it. Who would have thought? You know, like, people that didn't know that Snapcaster was going to be so great. You know, look at Snapcaster now. It's very, very similar. Very similar situation there.
It was a great card. Like, people knew Snapcaster Mage was going to be busted. Nobody knew how busted Jace was for, you know, for fucking month. You know, 2 months, you know, everyone was like, oh, Jace sucks, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, no, Jace doesn't suck. Okay, now it's $80.
Yeah, but you can actually get a box of Origins on Amazon for $99.95.
And you can probably, maybe, hopefully crack a Jace in there.
Yeah, or you might get lucky and crack 2 other Planeswalkers that aren't Jace, like someone on the podcast did this weekend. But, you know, whatever.
How did that, Brian?
I did. I got a Kytheon and a Chandra and a Hangar Back Walker and a couple other. I mean, I got some decent cards, but there was no Jace.
You get any Wingmares?
Probably.
I still need a couple, so that's why I was asking.
I was looking for for one very specific card. So, you know.
I understand. Maybe but, if I'll go buy a pack and I'll let you know.
Yeah.
If you pull four Jaces from it.
Massive misprint, guys. Check it out.
So, Junaid, I know we're giving a hard time on the Jaces, but I told Zach at the sound like I told you. Guess how much I shipped four Force of Wills for?
How much?
$40.
$30 a piece, yeah.
Hmm. So, I mean, when was this?
I don't remember, like, 90, like,
no, I don't know. Oh, like we could have known.
Yeah, I know, well, yeah, so, but, you know, so.
Like, I thought I was being super great.
I bought Sid Meier.
Oh, the Expedition?
Yeah, I'm trying to get rid of it, because I don't think I want three more, unfortunately. I do really bad, but I don't at the same time. But I'm trying to get Puka points, so if there's anybody out there in the Puka trade world that needs one, hit me up on Twitter. I will definitely send it your way.
For free.
That's not true.
Speaking of Puka trade, I don't need sleeves, I think, ever again.
Right. Wouldn't you get like 7,700,000 or something?
I have 700, so I participated in the Indiegogo campaign, so I have 700 sleeves from Puka Trade, and they're pretty sweet. Those are nice sleeves, so, you know. And I also got a plane map.
We can make you a cube and sleeve up a cube in that.
Well, that's what it's, I think that was, like, whatever tier I got was the, like, cube sleeve deal, but, you know.
Sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, really cool. I was just thinking, like, man, you should make a cube now.
Well, I mean, I have cards. I don't know. I thought about it at one point in time, but I just don't, I mean, I don't have the time right now. But maybe, you know, after October ends, we'll see. But
what if we all got together and maybe we tried to make a holiday cube, and then we could talk about it around the Christmas time area?
It might be fun. It might be fun.
That gives us some time to, like, actually put some thought into it.
I agree.
And flavor, like elks.
Well, speaking of flavor, right? So, remember we were talking about this Iron Root chef thing?
Correct.
On the last podcast? You can actually join. You can go to, I didn't know about this, I learned today, you can go to gatheringmagic.com, and there's actually a competition that is like an Iron Root chef situation. And so you can actually go and be part of it. The Snack Time podcast was saying, like, tweet at them at either at AntMTG or at Vorthos Mike, and you might actually be able to get in, like, on the Iron Root Chef competition on GatheringMagic.com, which is kind of cool.
I did not know that's how they picked people. I had seen them online on Twitter occasionally, but I didn't know how they were selected.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think if that's you, Zach, you want to do that. I mean, you've been talking about it lately. You wanted to do
Iron Root Chef.
You want to do an Iron Root Chef pre-release, so you should, you know, hit those guys up and see what's going on.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Also in, what's up?
No, go ahead.
Do we want to talk a little bit about the Eternal stuff?
Yeah, I looked over the modern results, at least from the IQ, the Star City IQ. I didn't see any new cards.
Oh, really?
No, and I think Green Red Tron won. So I think it's pretty standard what it was. I mean, I don't know that Modern got shook up much by the new format.
What about Legacy after the unbans? Or the bannings and the unbannings? I mean, sure, there wasn't much.
Well, I mean, they went back to being like a bunch of Miracles decks, I think, and the...
Shardless Sultai, though, won.
Yeah. And then there was also Rug Delver going on.
Sneak and Show, Eureka Tell?
Was there a Goblins list that kind of know somehow?
There was a sixth place Legacy Goblins and Brad seven. Campbell.
And seventh.
And seventh.
Oh, two Goblin decks.
Wow.
Oh my.
Like, I would assume the absence of Dig Through Time would bring back a resurgence in Wasteland, and that's what I was thinking before, like, when I heard about all this unbanning, or this banning and unbanning. And we're looking through the decks now, and there are definitely, like, a lot of Wasteland in the top 8. I'm telling you, Wasteland is making a comeback. I think blue-red Delver will make a comeback as well.
Yep. There's a blue-red list in the top 8 as well.
Oh, is there?
My God, this top 8 is awesome.
Yeah, it's like very diverse.
Yeah.
It's fresh. I really kind of like it.
And no miracles.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no miracles there. Awesome.
So it's a good day.
Let's see, any wastelands?
Trying to scroll, it's loaded.
Oh, tons of things. The Goblin stacks have wastelands on them, right?
Yeah, they're running 4-0s.
Yeah, they're running ports, too.
Yeah.
Eureka Tail, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I was just looking at that.
And two Ugins.
Morgan, do you know what Eureka does?
I know that the wording is not the wording on the card. I know that much.
Let's see.
Oh, yeah, the Rug Delver list also running for Wastelands.
Nice. Yeah, so I think it's a good day for Wasteland. I'm glad I got my playset last year. And Jade, speaking of Legacy events, last year I went to Eternal Extravaganza 3, or 2.
Nah, this year it's 3, right?
This year it's 3, and will you be coming?
Yes, I will be piloting the burn deck that I piloted at Eternal Weekend.
Very nice.
And I'll probably make a couple of changes for it, right?
Yeah, we were talking about a few changes, and we'll see what we come up with, some spiciness. I want to give it away in case we...
Oh, I don't think it'll be too spicy, but I don't know. We'll figure out. It's mostly sideboard tech. Yeah. I'll get a switch, probably.
When and where is this event for the listeners?
It is at...
24th and 25th of October, and it's in PA at Tales of Adventure.
In Coopersburg, Pennsylvania.
There you go.
Good store. Great store.
Yeah, it's the experience I had there last year was fantastic. I mean, it was run really well and, like, on time, and the rounds went pretty smoothly.
Even when they're overfilled.
Yeah, even when they're overfilled. There were, like, over 300 people last year. It's insane. And now this year, it's even bigger. They're giving away a total of 200 dual lands.
And prizes, yeah.
That's a lot of dual lands. And, Janae, did you look up the thing like I said to?
I did, but I completely forgot right afterwards. I looked it up, I was amazed, and then I forgot about it completely.
So first place for this event gets 40 dual lands themselves.
They get a full set.
That's
like $5,000.
Yeah, like $5,000. Yeah, that's insane.
$4,700 or so.
Roughly, give or take.
And then if you play Vintage, the Vintage is the Sunday, the 25th, and first place gets a Lotus.
That's it?
That's it. It's the Lotus.
Modern.
And there's also a Modern Premier IQ.
Very magical weekend over there.
You don't have Moxes and...
Yeah, for those not playing Dual Lands and or Mox, there's a Modern IQ. So all the Eternal. Brian, would you be interested in joining for this event?
It's kind of house, man.
I would, but it's October.
That's fair.
He's free in November, when November ends.
Wake me up, then.
When September, October are over.
November ends.
Indeed, yeah. No, in fact, I think that's the day that we're, like, our big furniture, the people are coming to move our big stuff, so.
Dang it.
That weekend, yeah, well. Eh. You know, I get a an office / what did you call it, Zeki?
Magic Dungeon?
Magic Dungeon.
Nice.
And it's going to be, hopefully it's going to be Bant colors, I'm hoping.
It's not Bant colors now. I mean, the picture, so I sent Zeki a picture. We painted, like, an accent wall green, but the other walls are actually gray. It just doesn't look like it in the picture.
I understand.
But it's my actual favorite colors, not my favorite magic colors, so.
Why can't it be both, man?
Because... I don't know. Go ask Richard Garfield. Why isn't gray a thing?
I mean, artifacts are pretty gray.
I think I might get in that Modern thing. That feels intense.
Do it. Morgan's coming out, so listeners, you can meet Morgan.
That'd be great. I'll be playing Death Shadow.
That'll be fun. So,
this new arena expansion.
Yeah, the new arena expansion just got announced.
It has today. Like Eldrazi and stuff in it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it does. So I guess listeners will remember we were talking earlier from back at PAX, Arena of the Planeswalkers. Yeah, Arena of the Planeswalkers.
The board game.
The board game, right, that came with, like, the five Planeswalkers from Origins, now has Kiora, Obnixilus, and a giant Eldrazi that's also one of the playable characters, so.
That's really sick. I did not know about that.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, they just announced it today, so.
I had known about Obnixilus and Kiora from PAX, but I did not know about this, so that's really cool.
It was announced on a website called Toyland?
Correct.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it looks really cool. And again, like, I'm looking at the picture on Gathering Magic, and, like, this Eldrazi thing is gigantic, so.
Yeah, compared to the rest of the board, it is pretty giant. Question, are there more, what are they? Are they hex pieces that come with it?
I know this comes with new hex pieces, but there are hex pieces that came with, like, the original game.
Yeah, I was wondering if they gave you more to expand it.
That I don't know, but since I'll probably order this, we'll know. But yeah.
Yeah, so stay tuned.
Yeah.
The game is supposed to be really good.
We should definitely try it.
I agree. And it's based on Heroescape, I think? Or roughly based on Heroescape?
Yeah, I've actually heard a review about it, and someone that was talking about it said that they just copied and pasted some of the Heroescape rules, and they did it very badly because they mentioned things that don't exactly add up and make sense. So maybe they weren't expecting people to actually read the rules either. It's still, I've heard, is a blast.
Yeah, I mean, I have it. It's packed now, of course. But also, my Emergence Genesis deck building game should be coming in the near future, so that should be fun too.
Whatever happened to Numenera?
I have it.
You have it
right now. I like would love to get started making some characters.
Right, our dungeon master moved.
Away. Down to Philadelphia. He went back to Pennsylvania.
That's a sad day.
But this is a Magic podcast.
Right. We're getting a little sidetracked with board games.
One of them was a Magic board game, to be fair.
Well, that's true. That started it.
All right, guys. I'm going to head out.
All right. Good talking to you, Morgan.
It was awesome hanging out. You know, I appreciate you guys letting me chit-chat on your podcast. I appreciate it.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's good having you, man.
Thank you. It's always good to talk to you.
Safe travels.
Thank you very much. I'm walking home.
Note for listeners, he does live close by.
So, how about that 5 minutes of flavor?
All right, so 5 minutes of flavor. This week, we decided to veer from the path yet again, and which is totally fine with me. Taking a break from the story and then catching up a little bit later will be fine.
Yeah, give them some time to come up with some more story.
We'll speed up a little bit. We'll build up some story.
There is another podcast, so for the listeners, if you really need to hear, like, the story updates, there is another podcast called Unspoken Realms. Is that right, Jackie? Have you heard of this one?
That is correct, and I really like that podcast a lot. Like, I listen to it very regularly, and I've made it something in my rotation because, although I do read them, it's fun because I do a lot of driving, and you can just listen to someone reading the entire Uncharted Realms, and it works out perfectly. They're a couple weeks behind, but, you know, that gives you enough time to, like, kind of not remember it 100%.
Right. Absolutely.
Do it, and it's like, oh, I remember all that, and now it makes a lot more sense, and I picked up a little couple things here and there that I might have missed whenever I read it.
And they are on they're on MTG Cast Network, although I don't actually see their contact info. I'd love to, if they're listening or someone else is listening and knows their Twitter, we'd love to let the listeners know about that.
Correct. So the article of 5 minutes of flavor this week is veering off the normal path, and from the regular Vorthos driven from the mothership, we're going to look at Myths of Zendikar by Kerry Thomas Barkhead, posted on October 5th, 2015, and it's a really cool article that talks about some of the locations in Zendikar. It's pretty short and easy to digest, and there's a bunch of other links in the story where you can find your own path of, like, more of the storyline itself, and it's pretty cool that you can do that, and it'll link it right to where you need to go to, like, learn more about what's going on, and that way you can really flesh out your knowledge of Zendikar. But yeah, but Brian, did you have any favorite locations?
I don't know that I have a favorite location per se, but what I really did like is kind of the sketch work that they put in.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, some of those sketches were, like, really cool to see compared to some of the other cards that actually ended up being printed.
Yeah, and I actually think, I mean, I'm looking forward, and hopefully this will be something that we see in the art book that comes out from Magic the Gathering in January. But yeah, more of these sketches so we can kind of see where things were. Yeah, this one about Tall Teague is pretty cool. It reminds me a lot of Burst Lightning, actually, which was a card in the original Zendikar block.
But yeah, Brian, that's pretty cool. My favorite was talking about the Strand of Jwar. I really liked the artwork that was highlighted here from the Jwar Isle Refuge. And I really liked, I didn't notice it at first either. I was reading about the giant floating heads in the water and how it could be from like a past planeswalker that we don't really know about trying to do all kinds of stuff. But if you look at the artwork, you see like a tiny little boat for scale, and I did not see that at first. So it's really kind of cool to see this tiny little boat, and then you get a sense of how large these heads that some planeswalker used some crazy amount of magic to put there.
Yeah, no, that's a really cool piece, actually.
Yeah, I agree. Did you get a chance to look at this article at all?
I have not gotten a chance to look at it. I've been running around all day with work and my huge commute.
Why don't you give me... I give you guys commute updates. You guys don't ever update me on your commute.
Today, my commute was a pain in the butt.
Well, I'm driving the entire time, so it's hard to update people while I'm...
I'm just kidding. I can... Listeners,
trying not to ram into motorcyclists or other vehicles.
That's fair. That's fair. I commute by train and by foot, so it's a slightly different situation than Zeki and Junaid. And so I like... when the train passes the airport, I'm like, bienvenidos a la aeropuerto on our Facebook pages. So,
and I'm like very confused sometimes. I'm like, oh, he's just going somewhere. I get it.
Yes.
Oh, in other news, did you see the Brian Kibler wedding playmat?
Yeah, I think did I not send that to you? I told you I wanted you to do it for 5 minutes of flavor, and then we found this article.
I can't do that for 5 minutes. That'd be so silly. But the Dragon Master himself has a new wedding photo playmat thing. There's a whole story.
Dude, I don't think it's new. I think wouldn't they give this out like at some event, some point?
I've heard a lot of talk about it. It got spoiled a couple weeks ago because Brian Kibler got it in the mail. He got, like, the actual piece in the mail.
Oh, okay. So
I knew about the image, but I did not know they were doing this wedding playmat.
Well, but he had his weird, like, Brian Kibler playmat where he was, like, reclining on a couch, right?
I thought he was doing, like, the Seinfeld pose where he's, like, just, like, hanging out.
Yeah.
Or something silly.
Yeah, and so, but now Star City Games has available for purchase a Brian Kibler wedding playmat.
Yes, if you're so interested.
Absolutely. But it's done by Steve Argyle, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. And it also includes, like, their dog, which is kind of sweet.
Shiro, yeah. And dragons, which I would assume that...
Oh, man, there's also a Shiro, like, proxy that they did with Ismaru. So it's adorable.
Oh, really? That's
some fun, too, yeah.
Very nice.
What is the splashback that we're going to be talking about? What's that?
Yeah, so this week we actually have Scroll Rack Flashback.
Scroll Rack Flashback!
So there have been some great articles in Magic's history, and I was talking to a player the other day, and I said... Well, you read Who's the Beatdown, right? And this player looked at me like I was an insane old man, which may or may not be accurate, but perhaps the greatest Magic article ever written is called Who's the Beatdown. Came out in 1999, and it's by Mike Flores. It was for an old site called The Dojo, which was a Magic community. And this is how I'm cheating, because it was written for The Dojo, and we said... Obviously, the Scroll Rack is not going to feature as many articles from Star City Games or Channel Fireball or the home site because people go there a lot. But this was first published on the Dojo, so this is a slight cheat. But basically, it's an article that goes over the way in which you play a match and to determine whether or not you are what Michael J. Flores describes as the beatdown and how basically it gives you insight into how to win the game. And you're either the beatdown or you're not the beatdown. And Mike offers a number of strategies to win in either situation. And again, it's probably one of the most famous Magic articles ever. I know that, Zeki has read this. Junaid, had you ever read this article or heard of it?
I've never read this, but you see the impact of that on everything now. Like, commentators at Star City Games or even other events are like, you know, they put the game in terms of like, you know, this deck is being the control deck right now. Even though, you know, they're both like mid-range decks or something like that, you know. And like, this deck is taking the role of the aggro deck, or has to take the role of the aggro deck to win the game. So, like, you see that, you know, being employed, like, everywhere now. So it's like, yeah, it's important.
I agree. I mean, I read this article probably sometime last year, I found it. But I feel like every Magic player should read this, whether they're an aggressive tournament player, or whether they're a player at the kitchen table playing some EDH. This article, it really teaches you tempo and how to, like, recognize different tempos and how even to flip the turn on your opponent and become the beatdown. So, it puts into play, like, how each kind of player can learn how to tempo to their advantage and really get good at what they do.
And it also has some cool old cards that I actually remember. One of my favorites is Sarcomancy. You guys heard of this card?
I have not. Where is that?
Old. It's, so... It's
I was born in 1991.
This was written in 1999. You could presumably read by the time you were nine.
This card came out in 97. I think.
Yeah, it's part of Tempest, and it's an enchantment for one black. When Sarcomancy comes into play, put a zombie token creature into play. Treat this token as a 2/2 black creature. During your upkeep, if there are no zombies in play, Sarcomancy deals one damage to you. This card is amazing. I used to be involved back in Texas with a group of, like, multiplayer group, and I had a really well-tuned zombie deck, and this was usually my first turn play, and it's insane. It's incredibly good and super broken.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Like, I haven't seen that card ever, so.
And it was, essentially, I guess, it was Geralt's Messenger before Geralt's Messenger, so.
Yeah, basically. I like all the Jackal Pops in the article.
Yeah. It's a good old card.
And I really like the new art, actually, too, that they did for the Fire and Lightning deck.
Yeah, I had that deck at some point in time. I don't know. I think I sold pieces of it off at various points in time. But, yeah, it was a great great deck, too.
So there you heard it, Magic folk. Check out this article and learn about some pace.
Learn who the beatdown is.
I'm the beatdown. I'm the law.
We already talked about the new game, right?
We did.
Did we?
I thought we did.
We did.
We did. I was trying to get someone to...
No, it's not going to happen.
Ask the question.
That's not a natural response. What person are you speaking of, Zeki?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. You think I haven't formulated a plan in my brain. To defeat you and alter my verbal patterns forever so I sound like a weirdo. But.
Well, unless you won't lose the game.
Exactly, right? I have to win at something. I've yet to win a sandwich bet, so.
We can play some Magic.
We can play some Magic.
Play some tic-tac-toe. Let's do this.
Some tic-tac-toe.
This person popped into my head. Quick. It's fast.
It is quick and fast. I had a friend growing up that thought he could game tic-tac-toe, and he'd be like, he like always had a plan. He's like, I've got a plan. And he always lost. He's like, I've got a plan.
He's like, I know what to do.
I know how I'm going to win. And it's like, you can't. Like, there's not a plan. All right, well, if you need to reach us, you can reach us via email at willofthecast@gmail.com. You can reach us on Twitter at willofthecast.
You blasted kids.
You can reach me, Brian, on Twitter at Inky Scholar.
You can reach me, Zeki, at Zektown on Twitter.
I'm at Janaidster91 on Twitter.
And also, if anybody out there is pretty good at making cubes, send us a message, individually or at the cast or whatever. I definitely want to kick in some ideas about rarities and any ideas you might have for a good holiday cube that we can get together and play over this winter break of sorts.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that'd be really cool to hear from you guys.
And while we're on the topic of cubes, Alex Newman, I haven't forgot about giving you feedback on your cube. I just, if you didn't get the message during this entire cast, I've been moving, and we'll be continuing to move. So I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
There you go.
All right. And with that having been said, Krikasaurus Rex, why don't you get us out of here?
See you, nerds.
Thank you.
It was Morgan.
I don't believe that. He's so laid. He's like the most laid-back person I know. With the movie stuff, it's either like I could play some magic or I could do the podcast. So I guess I'm going to be doing the podcast. And I think probably starting like next week, we shouldn't be like, Brian's moving. He's super boring. So
Brian's still moving.
Yeah. So anyway, well,
10 years later, like in SpongeBob.
Nugget, here's what you said, and Nugget will destroy you.
Who?
Mark Rosewater, lead designer of Magic the Gathering.
Got him.
Boom.
I'm going to next level your game and just make you say that as many times as possible.
Well, Janae could eventually say it, too. It's almost as though Brian and Janae conspired against you for once. There was, like, a little bit of, like, when you figured out, you're like, wait, they conspired against me. Wait, usually I conspire with one of them against the other one. They formed an alliance, and they are unstoppable.
What is this, wizardry?
Indeed. No, you sounded like a little hurt. You're like, did you guys conspire behind my back? And I'm like, yes, we did.
You bastards.
Doesn't make sense. Working on the pot.
Whoa. This takes about 6 times.
Whatever.
What the fuck are you doing, Janaid?
What?
Who the fuck's running down steps?
Oh, I had someone running down steps. Is that a problem?
Doesn't make sense. I know you're looking at the copper lights. I know how it is.
I wish, man. Those things are interesting, and I'd be by the beach.
Copper lights are on the beach?
They can be.
I would think they wouldn't be.
I'm thinking of the wrong thing.
Copper lights are fossilized turds.